The wrap-up session of the 2016 Kansas Legislature is now history. The president of Kansas State University says this was a rough session for the region's system, and the future of higher education in the state now rests in the hands of the governor. To start with, Dr. Kirk Schultz says under legislation passed by lawmakers, Kansas State University and the University of Kansas will bear more than their fair share of fiscal cuts.
Right now, there's a budget bill in front of the governor that basically says if there's further cuts that need to be made to anything in higher education, that University of Kansas and Kansas State will take a bigger proportion of those cuts than all the other higher education in the state. So if you combine that with an already mid-year cut of about 3%, as well as now it looks like a permanent cut of 3%, plus any additional cuts will be disproportionate to the two research universities, is unfortunately has not been a very good year for higher education and frankly education in general with the legislature.
Why did KU and K-State get hit harder?
The rationale, I guess, is because we have larger budgets, but I don't know that there's necessarily been a well-articulated reason that that came out of the legislature. I will say our alumni, the University of Kansas alumni, have been very aggressive about reaching out to the governor and saying, hey, you need to line item veto this part of it. If there's going to be a cut to higher education, you send the cut to the regents and it becomes distributed across schools like it has been every other year that I've been here. This is kind of extraordinary. I sometimes think and worry about the success that KU and K-State has seen, and people drive through campus and they see a building and they go, well, of course these guys can afford more. I think, you know, it's silly to think that way, but there's really no real rationale for why it should be that way. And none of the presidents of any of the higher education institutions in the state are supportive of this disproportionate kind of cutting scheme that's been proposed by the legislature.
Does it have anything to do with the fact that the two of us probably bring in a lot more research dollars, grant dollars, that sort of thing?
It might, but again, I just don't know. And I think that's part of the problem is if somebody says, well, here's exactly the reasons this occur, then you can maybe argue more effectively. But I still think that has not been well articulated why those two institutions were put out front. We do have larger budgets. And if your perspective is a smaller budget is a better budget overall, then all the philanthropy that we bring in, all the research that we bring in, you know, that could be contributing to everybody just thinking, hey, you've got all this extra money.
But research dollars can't be spent anywhere else, can they?
They cannot. They're not discretionary. They're designated funds because you go out and work with other faculty and decide to do a research project. Somebody gives you money to do that project, to hire graduate students. You can't just say, well, gee, I'm going to use 20% of this money for something else. So that's why it's the same with private dollars given. Our private dollars come in and generally most of them are designated to a project, to a professorship, to some particular thing. And that's not $150 million of discretionary money that can be used however we want to. In my 7 years here, this has been a constant year in and year out discussion that we've had to remind many of our elected officials that this is not discretionary dollars that come in. They're designated funds for a particular specific purpose. And in research, it's a faculty hustle. I mean, our faculty, despite not getting the raises that they should get, have been out hustling these dollars. And I think it's a notable achievement that Kansas State does almost $200 million a year in sponsored research. That says a lot about our faculty and staff.
And those research dollars don't go into faculty and staff pockets either, do they?
They don't. Sometimes if a faculty member may work during the summer on a research project and they are allowed to pay themselves a certain amount during the summer. But besides that, the huge majority of those grants go to support graduate students, postdoc, undergraduate student research, materials and supplies, travel, you know, those types of things. It's what's needed to conduct the research. And guess what? If I pay a postdoctoral associate $45,000-$50,000 a year, they're here in town, they're spending money in town, they're paying taxes. That is an economic driver. The more of that kind of research that we do, that money just goes right back into the local economy.
So where is the university going to make the cuts?
So what we've done is we've put out basically a callback internally. So every unit's having to come up with 3 to 4% of their base budget that they're going to have to return back centrally. And we send that money back to the state of Kansas. And so I think this is the third year or fourth year in my time in Kansas that we've had to do some of these permanent cutbacks. And so what it means largely is if you have a faculty opening, you decide, hey, I'm not going to hire that person this year. But if it's a permanent budget cut, like it looks like it's going to be, that means that that money's not there to hire that person in 2 or 3 years. So we're going to shrink an already too small faculty. Staff positions will remain open. That's the only place. 95% of our money that comes here is for salaries. So it's not like we have all this fluff on the side. So it just means people are going to have to do more with less. And I think we're reaching a critical point where it's hard to do more with less. We've been asked to do that for 7 or 8, 9 years now. And we're just at a point that we're doing a lot for the state. The state's got to return some of that investment back to us.
So what kind of an impact is this going to have on students?
Well, the tuition will rise 5%, or that's a proposal, and I want to emphasize that. The proposal that will go to the regents is that tuition and fees will go up by 5%. So it's a little bit, it's going to be a bigger financial burden on the students. And if you look over the last decade, largely public higher education in Kansas and elsewhere has shifted the financial burden away from the state into the students coming to the institution and their families. And if you look at that, we've seen a dramatic flipping of that. And you and I have talked about this several times. And I think that ultimately, end of the day, means that a few more families can't afford to send their son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, to get a four-year degree. And I think that hurts in the long run economically in the state.
Do we still have a cap on tuition?
No, we don't have a cap. The agreement always was that the cap was in place only if the legislature didn't cut. And so once the legislature made a permanent cut, the cap went off. Now, I want to give kudos to our government relations staff that even though that was verbally discussed, you still got to make sure in that final budget bill that that has been removed. And Sue Peterson and her colleagues at the other institutions work really hard, and we had legislative support to actually pull that out. Richard, there is a possibility that if they had not done that, they could have taken a cut, not changed the language, and then we would have had a tuition cap and a major cut on top of that. If that happens, you're talking about 5, 6, 7% cuts to academic units.
So is there a possibility that tuition could go up more than 5%?
The regents would have to approve that. We're not asking for that. Nobody's asking for that. So I don't see any scenario where all of a sudden that would go up to 6, 7, or 8% for some particular reason. Our proposal has gone to the regents, and it'll be discussed in public at the regents meeting next week. And there'll be a lot of things in the news media that people can read about and hear about it. And a lot of the dialogue will be that a lot of those percentages would have been lower if the state had provided the support that they talked about providing.
Is there a chance that enrollment will drop because of 5%, which will mean even with 5%, we won't get enough money?
You know, I've seen various enrollment projections for the fall, and it's still too early to really know, but enrollment could go down for a variety of reasons. It could be flat, it could be up. So every year it's a little bit different. And if you look at housing deposits and some of those things, right now everything looks like it'll be flat. And I would say that would be a successful year for us. But once tuition and fees are put in place, there may be some people who are planning to come and said, well, now because of that, I won't be able to make it work financially. We won't know. We'll know a lot more in sort of July, when we've seen how many people come to orientation, pay those housing deposits and things like that.
Okay, we've got two new academic buildings on campus. We have a new dorm, and we have what's called the chiller. Where does construction on those projects stand?
Sure. So Wiefold Hall is our new residence hall. We've accepted deposits. Students are going to move in there in August, so it's going to be done. When I drive by it, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but they say it's going to be done. We got nowhere else to put those students if it's not done. It'll be done. The business building, They're finishing that up. Classes will be in there in August, and so that one will be wrapped up and complete. The student union is still another year away from being done, and architecture, planning, and design, they're putting steelwork up. That's still a ways from being done. And then the campus welcome center, which is Old Memorial Stadium, that's complete. People are moving in there, and when students start coming in this summer to visit campus for prospective students, they'll go to the welcome center instead of coming to Anderson Hall. So a lot of the construction that we did is complete or will be complete this summer. The chiller plant will again have one more year of campus disruption. But as I was talking to some folks before, they said, you know, we probably are doing what we need to with the chillers to make K-State in good shape for the next 25 years. So the good news is we're laying some groundwork and infrastructure that's been needed for a long time, but also will mean that we'll be able to heat and cool our buildings more efficiently. We won't have to do this again in five more years. Everybody won't go, well, gee, if you'd done it right the first time, we wouldn't have to do it a second time. We really worked hard to make sure you do it once, do it right, and it's for the long-term benefit of K-State.
I've heard rumors from students that they're working around the clock on Wefald Hall, and that keeps students up. Is that in fact true?
I've gotten a couple emails from less than satisfied students that said, you know, Sunday morning at 6 in the morning, I'm trying to sleep, and they're out there banging around the construction site. So, you know, I guess I'm not overly sympathetic. As we build out on campus, you know, there's people got to remember, somebody's making noise. Guess what? There's somebody out there working at that particular time that's trying to build a livelihood for their family. So somebody being a little inconvenienced, you know, it's okay. I've had gone through 2 years where we've had a major construction project in our backyard with a business building. And, you know, it's just part of life. Learn to live with it.
This is the last program you and I are going to do. You're headed off to Washington. Tell me a little bit about what you're looking at there.
Sure. So Washington State University is a land-grant institution. If you talk to students there, you feel they're very, very similar to the Kansas kids that we have going to school here. The difference is the university has five physical campuses, so they're spread across the state of Washington. There's a new medical school that the state of Washington has provided funding for that will be the fourth land-grant university in the last 50 years to start a new publicly funded medical school. So that's very exciting. And then the state of Washington was worried about affordability. Now, their tuition and fees were significantly higher, for example, than Kansas. But what they did is last year and this year, they cut tuition by 10% and then provided resources to go back to the institution to essentially make that a zero impact on the institution. So it's a state that is really aggressively trying to make sure that their Washington citizens can go to either the University of Washington or Washington State. So those things are going to be really exciting, but there's some fiscal challenges there as well. They've got a lot of athletic challenges, and so it'll be a different set of things to do. But I was ready for a new set of things, and I think another person could come in here as president, and they're going to bring a different set of ideas. And I think 7-8 years is probably enough to make some great progress, but it's somebody else's turn to come in, and they'll infuse some new ways of doing things. I think that's good.
As you look at what you've done here, is there anything that you're disappointed about?
Yeah, you and I have talked about a lot of the finances over these shows. I believe that our faculty and staff here work as hard as they do any place that I have been. And if you look at our research and you look at the students and what they talk about, the mentoring they get from our faculty and so on, we're just not paying our people appropriately for the work that they do. And we have a lot of people that could pick up and leave and go anywhere in the country that decide, hey, I like Kansas State, I like Manhattan, I'm gonna stay here. I think it's unfair at some point to expect people to perform at a really high level and not compensate them appropriately. So I just don't feel, and I've been very consistent in my messaging about this over the last month, I don't feel that we have been able to make that kind of progress. It's not for lack of effort. It's just with the legislative sessions the way they've been, there's been zero interest in paying people in the state of Kansas what they need to be paid. And so my biggest disappointment is we weren't able to make more progress in that particular area.
Does that mean that education is not valued in Kansas?
I think if you look at the majority of folks in our legislature, I would say that if I look at actions, they have not done much to support K through 12 or higher education. I mean, a lot of rhetoric, but you know, to me, you follow the dollars, and I don't think it's been there. If I talk to the average citizen in Kansas, whether it's Western Kansas or here or Johnson County or some small town, I talk to folks and they talk about how important it is that their children have a great school system to go to. Not just higher ed, but they want to make sure that they have great facilities, well-compensated teachers, that their children are educated as they move out in life. And so I sort of feel there's a little disconnect with the populace and maybe our elected officials on that. And I'm hopeful that we'll see some change in the state to go back to a Midwestern state that values the education that their sons and daughters get.
That's the president of Kansas State University, Dr. Kirk Schultz. This will be the last program with Dr. Schultz, who leaves Kansas State to take the helm of Washington State University. I'm Richard Baker, and this is the K-State Radio Network.